Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Which is speech delivered from a planet where facts don't matter, which is where the current Republican Party resides. So it's really not his fault, but it is his responsibility to get his facts straight. He said this, that Biden inherited a country that had already rounded the bend on COVID. 4,000 people a day were dying in January. So I don't know. Again, on what planet we had rounded the bend. And Operation Warp Speed didn't do anything to get a needle into an arm. So a lot of disinformation. It felt almost scripted by someone close to the president who wanted that revision of
President
history.
Trump.
Correct.
So this is a hot mess of what are you talking about there from Nicole Wallace talking about Tim Scott's response saying that facts don't matter and saying Operation Warp Speed there. You know, the idea that Operation Warp Speed didn't do anything to get vaccines in arms. Ask Joe Biden personally about that because he had two vaccines before he became the president of the United States and was inaugurated. Because of Operation Warp Speed, which was, yes, done under Donald Trump, here we are talking about a global pandemic that is affecting everybody across the world, either through their health or through the economy, and we're fighting over who gets credit for what, and we're lying about it. We're not talking about what we're going to do to rebuild the economy. We're not talking about what we're going to do to, you know, put the pandemic away and keep it away forever. It's who got credit, and that's the only thing that's important. No wonder we're so screwed right now. Let's talk to Tyrus about it.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Tyrus is a host of Fox Nation's Enough Said. He's a Fox News contributor. He's also a contributor on Gutfeld, that nighttime show you can check out on Fox News each and every night. Tyrus, welcome to the show. Curious if you watched the whole joint address, Tim Scott's response, and what you thought of it.
Yes, I've watched both. I saw some positives in both, but more disappointing was the reactions are still the same. We haven't learned our lessons, and unfortunately, these opinion TV shows that is passing themselves off as legitimate news is really hurting the country. I mean, it's just, you get to the point where I didn't agree with all the things that President Biden talked about, and there was some things that I was like, well, I could co-sign on something like that or this or that, but in general, it was like, you know, he won the election, this is his agenda, and I have to adjust accordingly. Then Brother Tim Scott came on, and he gave his speech, and he brought out some good points, and he made some strong, strong statements that I completely agree with. I agree with his assessment on race in this country. And believe it or not, the next day, so did the vice president. So, I mean, but unfortunately, the biggest takeaway that I have gotten from those two speeches is that the media has no interest in any type of coming together or bipartisanship. Tim Scott is literally the walking embodiment of bipartisanship. He's literally working on things right now.
Yep.
You know, he's still, even though they shot down his police reform bill, he's back at it. President Biden made several attempts to talk about being bipartisan and working with Republicans. Those things were all, I thought, positive. But that's not what the media is interested in. And the other thing was the way that Tim Scott was attacked. I think we can safely say now that racism is not a white thing anymore. It's not. It's not just white people. The Uncle Tim comments, the attacking him for telling it like it is, those were coming from all walks of life. And it's just amazing to where we got to start sharing the wealth with the racism has now become a camouflage for, I hate you because I don't agree with you. So I'm going to talk about your skin color and your thing. It's not a white thing anymore. I think we need to look at it now. Is there racism in this country? But, yeah, it's all friendly fire. It's not just some guy sitting on a patio with a banjo saying that he hates darkies, okay? That's not what it is anymore. It is literally school teachers and lawyers and dentists and, Instagram influencers and everyday Americans where if you don't agree with me, I'm going to call your name. And guess what? They're of color. They're of different orientations. Like, that's the biggest thing that I took from what was two legitimate, strong speeches, and one of them was attacked with nothing but racial epithets, and it wasn't – we didn't see a million Sleepy Joes. It was all Uncle Tim, and shame on the country, honestly.
Gross, yeah.
Tyrus, with the Uncle Tim attack on Tim Scott last night, do you think that is proving Tim Scott's point, or is that almost like disproving his point that we're not a racist country?
No, it's proving his point that racism is not what used to be. Racism now is racism without power is name calling. When you were growing up 100 years ago and then talked about his speech and it was blatant. It was, you were literally just, no, you can't go here because of the color of your skin. And when that was said, nobody in the room was like, oh, come on, man, let the brother get a piece of pie. Everyone's like, oh, I'm glad you said something because I would have said something. If we take that same situation now that we all go to Denny's and I go to sit down, they go, whoa, he can't sit in here. You guys would all get up and be like, we're not eating here. And people at other tables would be like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this because it's socially not acceptable anymore. But if if I argued with the waiter over the tip and I under-tipped her and I walked out the door and she was like, that's what you get when a brother tips you. That's what it is now. It's name calling. And then they want to use it. And then the same people that are doing it will then want a social GoFundMe page to raise money for their social justice quest. Mm-hmm. It's all hypocrisy. It's a hustle. And it's becoming a first world problem where you can make hateful, racist statements because you don't agree with somebody and then cover it up because, I'm not white, so I can say that. And it's not right. It's disgusting.
You're talking about average people, which I appreciate, because so much of this conversation is directed by elected officials, media pundits, people who can sit down and have very public national conversations about this issue. And what frustrates me about that is the end result of those conversations, if division is achieved, if that's the goal, or if the removal of division is achieved, people in power exchange that type of a conversation like it's currency. Meanwhile, you've got Americans all across the country saying, I'm not a racist person, but I'm hearing a lot of people saying I need to check my privilege and check myself. People are very conflicted right now about what their next step is supposed to be.
The next step would be, one, we got to start holding these politicians accountable. I'm sorry, but if my local state politician, if my senator, if my congressman is on news bits every night dropping one word or catchphrases or automatically attacking the other side, I don't think I want that guy in office anymore because he's not working. He's on TV. So he's not in the office. He's not getting work done. He's literally on a soundbite trying to push his own agenda, trying to get himself noticed or recognized, or he's got severe President Trump envy, or he wants to be the new woke star. These are not the politicians you want in your office. They're not working for you. They're working for themselves because they rather take a shot to be on a TV show to talk trash and to get nothing done than actually be in their office getting things done. So I think we need to start looking at who we have speaking for us because they don't represent us. And all they really want to do is take the worst of us and try to conflate it into some huge issue that they have to spend time and energy on, which means much to do about absolutely nothing. So we saw a lot of that tonight. And I just think I'm glad that Brother Scott gave his speech. I'm glad. I was proud as a black man to see a black man representing the Republican Party last night proudly. And then at the same time, you look across, you look at when President Biden was talking, we had two women standing behind him in power. So, I mean, what are we talking about? There's no opportunity? Literally the entire speech last night. And then you go to the panels who were talking about it. And the panels are represented of every shade and tone and orientation. I mean, at what point do we say, and someone sits there and goes, this country's racist. If they were racist, you wouldn't get a chance to talk. You'd have been sweeping up. You wouldn't be cleaning up, talking about how you can't stand still to this day blaming President Trump. And not, you know, he doesn't deserve credit for opposition war speed because I didn't like his tweets. That's not journalism. That's the opinion of somebody that should be really telling their stuff at the back end of a bar at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon when the rest of us are working and no one wants to hear it. You know, it's just, that's literally where it's right in front of us, America. It's not that bad. We got real problems as far as we need to work on our education and we need to find a way to not break the bank to where my great-grandchildren are in poverty because the national debt is, we can't pay our bills. So, I mean, we got real work, real issues to deal with. Defining what actual infrastructure means, that would be great.
Right.
You know, the one thing I did thought was maybe it would be a good idea. I don't know about the 2 years of free junior college, but I definitely think starting our children younger in school at three would, I think, be beneficial. I agree with that. I just not sure I agree with a lot of the other issues, but I'm listening. Try to listen. I didn't already have a soundbite put together. The only thing I just came up now talking with you is I just realized racism, it's for everyone. It's not just white anymore.
Yeah.
So
how many people came into that speech last night, either of them, and knew exactly what they were going to say before the speeches were delivered?
I think they had a plan. I think they, you know, and Biden went off script when he paid homage to Mitch McConnell, and that was the right thing to do. And, you know, Tim Scott, when he was talking about himself, I think he went off. I don't think he needed a teleprompter to read about his life story and where he's from and the things he went through. And being called an Uncle Tom by so-called progressive, yeah, you're a liberal calling a black man a Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
But yet you're fighting for his right to have freedom of speech and to pursue opportunities. He's literally the living embodiment of it. Like in his family's generation, he went from the cotton field to the to become a senator, and that should be a great story. That should be a children's book. You know, that should be something that they respect, and instead they're using it against him. Well, we found out that his third cousin on his aunt's side owned land in Wyoming. What? That's what you came up with?
Yeah.
Like that.
It's pretty impressive, really. If you think right they had to go that far to dig up some.
But yeah, I mean, I'm exaggerating, but I mean that's literally what they tried.
Yeah. Tyrus, it's great to talk to you. We're going to be tuning into Fox News to watch you whenever you pop up. Enough said on Fox Nation. Become a subscriber there.
I'll be on GovBell tonight.
Tonight? Fantastic. We'll be looking forward to seeing the reaction there. It's a great show. We've really enjoyed it. So we'll be tuning in. Thanks, Tyrus.
All right. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. At Planet Tyrus on Twitter. You can follow him on Instagram as well. He's got some pretty cool social media takes there. And you can, of course, see him on Fox News and Fox Nation as well. Let's take a quick break. I had a kind of mulling this question around myself. I'm going to ask Katie and Ryan, I'll give you the heads up, the tease. And you guys can comment as well in the live chat. I want to know a politician that is in your party. So I'm assuming we're talking about Republicans. I mean, we could talk about all the Democrats who is it time for Chuck Schumer to go? Well, that'd be wonderful. But that's not up for us to decide. Who's a Republican or who in the Republican Party? Maybe you have multiple answers. Whose time is it to go? Who's fresh? What seat is there? We need fresh blood in it. Who is just spent their time, done their thing, and it's time to turn it over to some new, fresh ideas, fresh energy? I'd love to hear who you think when you come back, because I think that introspectively speaking in the Republican Party, there's some room for improvement. Let's talk about it when we come back. Don't go away.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Look, I think the speech tonight, you could sum up in three words. Boring, but radical. The speech by design was calm and dulcet tones. I challenge you to remember a single line from the speech. I mean, it was monotone. The chamber was nearly empty, and that really has characterized the first 100 days of Joe Biden, that he's tried to say nothing notable, he's tried to tweet nothing notable. I think they've made the political decision that many people were tired of the drama of the previous 4 years, and they wanted something calm. And so, but Joe is deliberately being boring.
Joe is deliberately being boring. That's like the Katie Fitzpatrick playbook. That's what Katie said she's thought when Biden got elected, that, well, this will be a lot more boring. I said this yesterday. Donald Trump, the content of his speeches, I very much enjoyed. But when he would deliver these speeches, like these big, important speeches from the teleprompter, wasn't it boring? Like, his delivery was not... I mean, it didn't make you go, rah, rah, yay. His words.
You always knew he was maybe going to say something. You know, you always were waiting because you knew he could go off script at any second. Therefore, you were kind of on the edge of your seat.
But he doesn't go off script on those big speeches. The big ones, are the teleprompter ones, he has that monotone. It's very sleepy. I mean, it's very, what was the phrase that he said? Low energy.
Low energy.
Did you see Jeb?
Yeah.
Did you see Jeb is like mulling around again?
Oh,
please do.
My.
Just that, if you were wondering about whether or not Donald Trump was going to run, get Jeb Bush to run.
Yeah.
Donald Trump will run just so that he can beat Jeb Bush again and enjoy it. So I asked the question before we went to the break. What, name some Republicans who have served their time and it's time for them to move on. You guys have any suggestions?
I have two.
Go ahead.
So blanket statement over senators and House members. If you've served for 40 years,
bye.
I think your time is up. I think
does that go for presidents too?
Yes. I'm kidding. But I mean, if you've served 40 years, if you are an actual career politician, I think your time is up, because we do need to move forward and try to get people that are more relatable, that can get people that are probably my age, born in the 90s. If you want to get them invested, if you want their vote, you have to have somebody that's relatable, that can speak their language. I'm not saying, you know, get a millennial in there and
no, millennials are 40. Millennials are old enough to be the president.
That's true.
Gen Z.
But you know what I mean. Like, you don't have somebody.
You say millennial and everyone's like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, her. Like, that's, I mean, it doesn't, when AOC is 82, people are going to still be calling her, like, she's going to be like, oh, she's the millennial. Like,
that's true.
That's the slander that people in the millennial generation have to take, because I think everybody is like her. Michael on Facebook says, Katie would vote to keep Daniel Crenshaw.
Of course. Of course. He's a newbie. He's a noob. He gets to stay. But I think
sounds like you're advocating term limits.
I am. And the two people that come to mind, although I appreciate what Mitch McConnell has done, I think it might be time for him to go. And I also think, like, Chuck Grassley, I think he's been in there 40 plus years. So it's his time, I think.
So you're basing this a lot on age and time spent.
And not ageism, just time spent fulfilling that role.
Well, there are people who want to put an age limit. There's an age limit to qualify to be able to run, but people want to put in an age limit that would disqualify you from running as well on the other end. What do you think, Ryan?
Well, Romney and Murkowski are the obvious ones, but I would say Lindsey Graham. I'm just not
really.
I don't necessarily dislike Lindsey Graham. I don't know where he's ever coming from, and I don't like. He tries to appear bipartisan, like he approaches everything neutrally, but I think he's just kind of schizophrenic about it. I would like to see somebody else hold a solid red seat in South Carolina than Lindsey Graham. But yeah, go ahead.
Finish your thought.
Well, there's also, like Katie said, there's a type of politician that I would like to see go too. And that is the career politician, not necessarily age-based or length of term-based, but they're Republicans who think that if they stand in a picture and hold a gun and wear an American flag shirt, that that's what a Republican is. There are some people who that is Republicanism, but there are politicians who pander to that like crazy, and that bothers me. I don't like that.
Fox News reporting here that Representative Liz Cheney said in an interview with Punch Bowl News Thursday that she will stand behind her vote to impeach former President Trump every day of the week as she faces multiple primary challengers in 2022 re-election effort. I'm over this Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger. I just don't understand. Usually this is what an issue that I bring up from progressives, where I could talk about any issue. I see it every day, every single day on the live chat. We have 100 people who are watching almost all the time on the live chat between YouTube and Facebook together. And every day there are some people who come in who like to participate in the chat. We're happy they're there. They don't necessarily agree with me, but they like to participate in the chat. It does not matter the issue that you're talking about. This happens in real life. This happens on the phone calls that we take. There are some people who just can't stop thinking about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Everything in the world revolves around Donald Trump. And it's like, no, it does not. This country has existed in magnificence for centuries before Donald Trump was even a Republican. But yet here we are. Every single issue that comes up, it's like, but what about Donald Trump? It's usually coming from the left. But we have this handful of politicians right now who could very easily move on from Donald Trump, like the country has at this point in time, because he is in fact not the president of the United States. He's not. I understand wanting him to be, especially after listening to the Biden administration last night give that joint address. But everything coming back to Donald Trump, it is exhausting. And I have to say, it's not being driven by people who actually are waiting to see who the Republicans put up in 2024 for president. It's people who are just mentally obsessed with this idea of this man who got under their skin and just lives rent-free in their brains all the time. I'm just like, let it go. I don't care if you think that he lost fairly or if the entire election was stolen from Donald Trump. I've been clear on where I am on that issue. I think that the Democrats took an enormous advantage with COVID being in play before the election happened to change the laws to benefit Democrat candidates. Whether or not we find out in Arizona or anywhere else that there was an actual theft of an election, I will happily report if that is the case or not the case when we find out. But discussing it, to me, doesn't change the fact today or last night that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. But if Liz Cheney wants to serve her constituents and the country well, the next person who asks her a question about Donald Trump, say, Donald Trump isn't the president right now, and I'm here to represent my constituents, and these are the issues that are important to the people who I am representing, and if you cared about them as much as I did, you'd be asking me questions about how we're going to improve that. You'd be asking me questions about what the Biden administration is doing to improve that. Adam Kinzinger in the state of Illinois, same thing. Every single thing. He's in my state. I see a lot of him. I know people very connected to his campaign, to his office, and it's like, everything is Donald Trump, and they hate their whole predication on their obsession is that they're so mad that everything is about Donald Trump. I'm like, it's you. You're the problem. And just let it go.
Notice those two people have a friendly welcome on places like CNN and MSNBC. Yes. It's a friendly invitation to go on these shows because they've drawn their line in the sand saying, I hate Donald Trump. I think he's was a horrible president. He's not what we represent in America.
You're 100% right. If I'm in Adam Kinzinger's district and I have to vote between Adam Kinzinger and a Democrat, I still want Adam Kinzinger to represent me over a Democrat who has aggressively progressive policies, because that doesn't represent me. But what the heck are you doing right now? Where everywhere you turn, like, who are you trying to win over? There's got to be 7 people who are out there who are really hoping to have a candidate who is aggressively hateful and obsessed with Donald Trump and his current position as a golf host in at Mar-a-Lago. There's got to be something else that you need to be advocating for when it comes to your constituents. And to go back to what Tyrus is saying, these are the people who find themselves in front of cameras and microphones all the time. What are you doing? Are you promoting you or are you promoting your constituents? It all comes down to, with every single one of these people, what are you doing for the people you represent? You are a representative. Liz Cheney last night gave a fist bump to Joe Biden. And it was like, I see that and I go, you know, Fox News is blowing it up. You see it on Twitter. I'm like, this is all I need to know, that Liz Cheney is giving fist bumps to the president of the United States. In reality, it doesn't really need to be that big of a deal. But Liz Cheney has put herself in a position where it's an enormous deal. And she has to know that there are cameras everywhere. And she's making an elective decision to go participate in that interaction. And because of her constant watering of this issue between her and Donald Trump, the fact that she won't put it to bay, it looks calculated. I would like to live in a country where anybody in Congress can see the president of the United States and respect the office. I wish that people on the left would have done that for Donald Trump when he was the president. I can commend her for doing that, but she's created so much drama around her that is completely unnecessary and unbeneficial to the people she represents and the people of this country. It's just exhausting. Donald Trump has said that Ron DeSantis would be considered a running mate. Do not take Ron DeSantis out of Florida and make him the VP.
Don't.
Leave Ron DeSantis where he is, unless he's going to make America Florida again, which is making America Florida again, making him Florida America again, or something like that. I don't want to have him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe let me take that back. Maybe if Trump makes DeSantis the VP and then gives him all the responsibilities of the office of the president, like Biden is doing to Kamala, maybe that's a win. Let me rethink my statement right here on the air. Things are looking a little bit up here. I don't know. I personally, at this point in time, I say Ron DeSantis 2024, just because if you take Ron DeSantis, you run him and he has the support of Donald Trump, that's a big win. If you put Donald Trump on the top of the ticket because he wants to run again, which if he wants to run again, he's gonna be the guy. Boy, it's just like, I got to put my big girl pants back on to go through into another 2 years of campaigning and all that with Donald Trump as the candidate of the president. He'd be an infinitely better president than Joe Biden right now, for sure. We're going to take a quick break. Kennedy Brown's going to join us when we come back. This is an exciting departure from talking about political speeches and stuff. People out there doing good things. She is the program director for the Archangels Foundation. We're going to talk to her about a way that they are working with kids who are struggling with mental health, suicidal thoughts, and what we can do about it. This is something that in the wake of a pandemic has become a bit epidemic. And Kennedy Brown with Archangels is going to talk to us about how we can help. So I'm looking forward to that conversation here in just a minute. Hope you are too. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're enjoying a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Lovely out there. Just poked my head out the door. We are welcoming on a new guest to our show. Kennedy Brown joins us now. She's the program director for the Archangels Foundation. Kennedy, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. It's really great to have you. Looking forward to the opportunity to discuss your foundation and what you're doing for the youth of our country right now.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about where ARC came from, about Avery, and how you've taken a tragedy with this foundation and worked it into a way to help people on a really difficult topic, that teen depression and suicide, and just give us kind of the story behind how you developed this foundation and what you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this foundation was started back in 2014 in honor of Avery Rain Cantor. So that's what the ARC stands for. And this foundation was created by her father, Rick Cantor. And it's to give back to our community and, you know, to educate our kids, educate the adults around these kiddos and how we can help them. I played soccer with Avery for a couple of years and had my own personal struggles with anxiety and depression and suicidal thoughts. And after Avery's passing, I reached out to her dad to get involved with the foundation and was able to volunteer as a board member for 4 years and then took on the full-time job as the program director. And as the program director, I get to do presentations in the St. Louis area with, again, kids, parents, and teachers and educate them about mental health and suicide prevention.
Kennedy, what does the process look like if a kid or a parent comes to you? What happens from there? What do you guys do?
So if they are needing some assistance, we are able to get them in contact with a licensed counselor or psychiatrist, usually within a few hours. It's a really, you know, important part of this process is getting these kids in the right hands, you know, quickly. It's a mental health and suicide ideation. It's kind of a quick process. So we have to get them talking to someone, kind of assess where they're at and get them help right away.
We're speaking with Kennedy Brown, who's the program director for the Archangels Foundation. If you would like to learn more, you can go to archangelsfoundation.org. That's archangelsfoundation.org. Kennedy, you know, you said you struggled with this yourself. And I can look back to my high school years, be it a while ago, and know that even in the best of circumstances, kids go through a lot of stuff. And with the pandemic that's been taking place, with the pressures that are just standard, along with growing up in social concerns and education pressures and so on and so forth, I would imagine that what you have been able to deal with and expose and help, it's probably much more prominent than people assume that it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest piece of it is that some kids struggle silently. You know, they might hide it behind a smile or behind this kind of facade of having to have it all together or feel like they have to. And I think that's definitely more out there now because of how social media kind of makes kids, you know, see everybody else's perfect life and they feel like they have to have it all together. You know, through these presentations, I ask kids, you know, blatantly, I ask them, what are kids struggling with? You know, why are we seeing increasing rates of suicide in our young kids? And why are we seeing more rates of depression and anxiety? And, you know, a lot of those things you just mentioned, those pressures, you know, the isolation of COVID, feeling like they have to fit in. And I think also the comparison part, them comparing themselves to their peers, I think has been exacerbated by social media.
Kennedy, how do you at the Archangels Foundation go about identifying which kids do need to seek treatment? Because like you said, some kids are going to struggle silently and therefore they're not necessarily seeking you out, while other kids, as I understand it these days, you know, a lot of kids are going on TikTok and diagnosing themselves with everything. And, you know, just so there's this wide variety of personalities and kids. And how do you sort of go in and say, okay, this is a person who really could use help right now?
Yeah. So I think that's the caveat of these, you know, said warning signs that we can look for is that it looks different for every single kid. But I think that most in all situations that you see there, you're going to see some type of warning signs. And so a big one that I like to identify or tell parents to identify is, you know, changing of personality, them kind of keeping to themselves, not doing things that they used to love and enjoy, kind of any other types of, you know, maybe self-harm, things like using drugs or alcohol. And obviously those things can be harder to identify because they'll hide them from you. But I think ultimately the best advice that I can give parents or anybody who is, you know, in contact with kiddos is follow that gut instinct. I mean, if you are with this kid enough that you know how they are and something just seems off, that's at the point where you need to have a conversation with them and you need to talk to them about those warning signs and things that you're noticing in them.
We're speaking with the program director for the Archangels Foundation, Kennedy Brown. You're spearheading some presentations that people can participate in, and you're also raising mm-hmm. money to help with, you know, providing educational programs, therapy costs to people who are in need of this kind of care and maybe don't know family members, friends, don't know where to go to. Tell us about mm-hmm. what the Archangels Foundation is doing and how our listeners can support that.
Yeah, so we are hosting a monthly virtual presentation online. Our next one is actually on May 17th at 7 p.m. You can visit our website to sign up. But we're going to be diving deeper into, how we can have parents talk with their kids, some of the warning signs to look for. But really, we're going to be focusing on that conversation. How, as a parent, do you reach out to a kid, you know, not even struggling with suicidal thoughts, but maybe just having a hard time? How do we have an open conversation with them before kind of we get to those suicidal ideations? We also have a donate site on our website, which is great. But also getting us in contact with your kids' schools, youth organizations is a great way for us to continue to spread our message and educate more individuals in the St. Louis area. And we can do that virtually or in person. And you can go on our website to our contact us page to get us in contact with those groups.
Kennedy, you were a friend and a teammate of Avery who took her life, and you've turned this, along with Avery's family, into an opportunity to help other people. And this is an amazing opportunity for people in our community listening right now to rally behind your efforts. Thank you for what you're doing. And I want to encourage people to go to archangelsfoundation.org. That's archangelsfoundation.org. And consider learning more about the foundation and supporting them by making a donation if possible as well. Kennedy, a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Kennedy Brown there. She's the program director for the Archangels Foundation, and you can find them at archangelsfoundation.org. The mental health threat to everybody, not just to children, in the midst of this last year is so profound. I wonder how long it will take us to measure it, you know, from a scientific, statistical way. I look back to, it's probably come as a surprise to most people that I'm an incredibly introverted person. I do have a radio show with my name on it, but I am not an extroverted person when it comes to interpersonal communications face-to-face, like the cocktail party environment. I can go on a stage in front of hundreds of people and deliver political opinions and, you know, try to make some sense. Hopefully I make some sense when I do that. But the cocktail party thing, I'm just nervous about it. I get so worried about other people being uncomfortable around me that I have to work overtime to make them comfortable, because I'm not comfortable until I feel somebody else is really comfortable. This is what the 37-year-old version of me looks like. In high school, my gosh, you know, I went to a school. I talk about being Lutheran educated in a Lutheran parochial school and how important that was to me. My best friends that I have right now are still friends that I made when I was three. But when I went to a large public school, it just didn't really have the... I didn't have the biology to just inject myself into that. Katie is the exact opposite of me in this regard. But it's hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. I'm sure, Katie, you can think back to high school and have, you know, some memories of just uncertainty or a lack of confidence. And in the wrong series of circumstances, that can turn really fast. Mm-hmm. And something like this that is available to people to reach out if there's a need for help is so incredibly important, especially now.
I feel like it starts with ending the stigma. You know, it starts with ending the stigma that, you know, you don't really need to go to counseling. You're going to be fine. You're going to get through it. It's like, well, there's some people in this world that really do need help, and they really do need some guidance on where to get that help. And that's why what Kennedy is doing is so important, because when you're in high school, you don't know what questions to ask, and you don't know who to ask them to.
You also think you're the only one.
Yes, like, you do. You're very isolated.
I'm going to probably go over a minute here, but, okay. You know, Ryan is a parent, too. You've got young kids. I have an 11-year-old and an 8-year-old. Yours are 6 and under. But it's your biggest, I mean, when you look at your kids, you want to do everything you can to protect them from like falling off the couch and hitting their head. But when you start to look down the road of them being older and knowing that there are going to be influences on their life that you do not get to control, and they have to learn how to navigate that with the threat of social media, especially from people in our generation. We did not grow up with social media. We don't have actual childhood experience of what it's like. We have the, you know, where you actually had to do it physically behind someone's back. Now it's now it's digital.
Right.
It's pretty terrifying as a parent.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, my kids are not quite to that age yet, but even just playing on the playground, you're like, how do I protect my kids from being the one left out of the of whatever's happening? You know, even those kind of things come up. So I'm so thankful that my wife is a teacher, because she deals with this stuff all day, you know, and she teaches high school students. So by the time my kids get to be that age, I think I'm going to draw on a wealth of knowledge from her. But yeah, it's pretty frightening.
Yeah, it is an asset to have. Also, my husband being a teacher as well, to have that knowledge. Mine in middle school, my husband teaches middle school. He's not in middle school. But knowing how to navigate those issues.
Thanks for the clarification.
Well, you never know. It's important. And I want you folks to check out archangelsfoundation.org to see if you can help. We got a whole open hour coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. Stick around.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.